Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with my buddy Big Cass. And Big Cass, didn't you hear? Michigan is hitting their stride.
Yeah, their offense is hitting their stride, I guess. It's just as bad as the 1999 quarterback competition video that I saw you where he threw an astonishing 49-yard deep ball.
I'm really disappointed with Nate Stanley and Kirk Ferentz because all they had to do was score one touchdown, but they let me down, man. They let me down so hard. And the fact
they let me down.
Yeah, and the fact that Jim Harbaugh thinks that they are hitting their stride is just hilarious. I wish Iowa put them down. I really did. But right now, you know what this feels like, Big Cass? It's a little story time here on Bunch of Nuts. When I was in third grade, we had Titanic Day, and the ship was sinking, all right? And I chose to be the captain of the ship that day, all right? Because the guy who, you know, drove the Titanic or whatever, his name was John Smith. As Dan Smith, I was like, oh, I'll be the captain. Come in my captain suit. And basically, my teacher said I couldn't get on the lifeboat because I can't abandon ship as the captain, even though I wanted to so bad. That's how I think Jim Harbaugh feels. Me, like, in third grade, he wants out of this Michigan job so bad. I mean, they only scored 10 points. And then just to say that they're hitting their stride, it's full panic mode for that team up north. They are not looking good at all. There's no way that they win the Big Ten East.
There is no way. I mean, if they're hitting their stride, this is kind of funny. If they're hitting their stride and they keep playing like they are, they're going to lose to Penn State. They're going to lose to Michigan State. They're going to lose to Notre Dame before they even get to play the Buckeyes. And that's just astonishing. And I mean, they also, by the way, folks, it's a whiteout in Kirk Herbstreit, and Fowler will be there. Game Day will probably be there next week. So look out, ESPN Game Day. You're headed to Penn State from Michigan, where Penn State's going to probably wallop them. I mean, heck, Illinois might put up a big fight this weekend against Michigan State. Against Michigan.
I wouldn't say Illinois, but I got a stat for you, Cass. Michigan's leading running back, Zach Charbonnet, has 260 yards on the ground. Ohio State's defense has produced 173 yards in sack losses. All right? So, I mean, basically, there's an 87-yard difference between what Chase Young and that defensive line is doing and what Michigan's best running back is doing on the field. I know those don't really too correlate, but just that is a testament to how bad Michigan is at running the football this year and how good our defensive line is. I mean, we're literally 87 yards off from their leading rusher with sack yards lost. Like, that's how dominant our defensive line is.
Heck, we have three guys rushing over that. Justin Fields, Master Teague, and J.K. Dobbins. And Marcus Crowley is at 102 on 15 attempts. I think that on the year has got 1,866 yards total rushing. I mean, they're averaging 288.5 yards a game. J.K. Dobbins had that in the first half against Michigan State of what Charbonnet had. If that tells you anything.
Dobbins, too, I guess as we kind of get away from Michigan here, but also shout out Bob, the Michigan fan who always comments on our Twitter page. Bob, we got to get Bob on the podcast one day. I mean, he's a realistic Michigan fan. I think he, you know, is a good metric for that fan base, just seeing where they're at. And I think they're really done with Shea Patterson overall. I wouldn't be shocked if they lost to Michigan State at this point.
Oh, I mean, there might be a total of 10 points scored in that game, in my opinion.
That's you. You thought the Iowa game was ugly. That one's going to be a total of 9 points. It's going to be like
6-3 final.
6-3. And the 6 points was just three safeties.
Three safeties. I mean, yeah, it's pretty much sums it up. I mean, granted, Michigan State's got their hands full this week against Wisconsin also. I mean, they probably won't even score a point this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give the Spartans credit, though. For that first quarter, I was nervous. You got to admit.
I was a little nervous, but the thing that I loved about what Ohio State did is they got punched in the mouth and they fired back. I feel like old Ohio State teams who got punched in the mouth just wouldn't fight back. I mean, I think that's what Ohio State does this year. I mean, they faced a little bit of adversity, but still not that much. I mean, this team was down 7-3, and then boom, next thing you know, 3 plays later, J.K. Dobbins is to the house for a 67-yard touchdown.
Which I honestly think could have been the biggest touchdown of this season to point, man. I mean, J.K. Dobbins broke that run, beast mode run. I don't know what that Michigan State defender was thinking. Oh, I'm going to pop the ball out and, like, try to, you know, strip him while he's running. That was just the dumbest play I've ever seen. But Dobbins, he's something special this year. He's easily going to break 1,000 yards. He's at,
I think he'll, he's break at, he'll break against Northwestern next week.
Yeah, he's at like 826 yards on the season. There's no reason why he won't be over 1,000 next week if we run the right plays.
He's at 837.
837. I have 826 here on according to ESPN.
Well, this ESPN's wrong. I'm on the Ohio State official website.
Yeah, you always got to go with the official one.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio, J.K. Dobbins, 116 carries, 837 yards. His net yards, because he's got a, okay, you're right. 826 net yards. I'm sorry.
What is net? What do you mean net versus?
He's had 11 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Okay. Net and then net. Okay, they don't take it. Yeah. That's sneaky how they do that. Oh, padding the stats over here, Ohio State.
But yeah, you're right.
You mentioned before the adversity, like we got punched in the mouth. You know who did some punching in the mouth this week? Wyatt Davis.
Yeah, I have a thing about Wyatt Davis. Here's the thing. I trashed him so bad on my personal Facebook account, and I trashed him in my conversation with you. For some odd reason, from the second quarter on, that dude was an all-American offensive guard.
Did you see the clip? I think I sent it to you, but yeah. Did you see that clip where he literally, that's Joe Bocci he threw. He literally made Joe Bocci look like a rag doll. Literally just dropped, like tossed him like 3 feet, blindsided him, made an all-American linebacker look like he should have been playing D2.
Like he made it look like, he looked like he was going up against a Pee Wee football player.
You know what it looked like? It looked like that scene from The Blind Side when Michael Orr just absolutely drives back that defensive end.
Uh-huh.
That's what it looked like. He just literally lifted Bocci up and just destroyed him. And that's what I loved about the way the offensive line performed. The way the game went, we definitely got punched in the mouth early. They definitely came out. They threw everything they had at us. You know, that first drive, they definitely like got to Justin Fields. I believe Bocci and Willekes, you know, really had some good pressures. I think actually might have sacked him.
Actually, I think Willekes had he was non-existent. I think Bocci was, you know, played very, very well. But I think Ohio State did a phenomenal job against Willekes. I don't think his name was called very, very much at all.
On the first drive, he and Bocci teamed up for some solid pressure. But after that, man, we made the adjustments, and it wasn't even close. I mean, we took a couple hits in the first quarter, but then we came out, and like other linemen were also just throwing them everywhere. And then they punched Josh Myers, I believe, or something again. I don't know what's going on with that, but just Ohio State came out, man, and they just. They took a hit and then they fired back, and it's a testament too to Mickey Marotti, just the way he's you know taught them strength and conditioning and just toughness, because the more this game progressed, the stronger the offensive line got.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean Josh Allaby started, but he didn't finish game. Brandon Bowen did.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean they were outstanding in the first. I mean actually the whole game. So. But, you know, now we're going on our defensive side. I have a bone to pick with Darryl Stewart Jr. Darryl Stewart Jr. of Michigan State caught that touchdown pass and thought he was just like the biggest king in the world, where it was an accidental rip off of the face mask with Jeffrey Kuto. That was accidental. I think in my opinion. I don't think Jeff Okuda deliberately threw his face mask off when they were on the ground. But Daryl Stewart Jr. got up, flexed around, blah, 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 did his thing. And then after that touchdown, drop after drop after drop after drop. Daryl Stewart Jr., you are a fool. You were out there flexing your muscle, yapping your jaws at Jeffrey Okuda and Damon Arnett, and look who had the last loss. Cameron Brown filled in for the injured Damon Arnett. He shut your butt down.
Yeah, how about that Cameron Brown guy? I mean, I didn't even realize he was on this roster until like a week ago. I was watching, I believe it was the Ryan Day pregame show on with Clay Hall and the other guy, I think the Football Fever. No, Game Time with Ryan Day. That's what it's called. And
with Dave Holmes.
Yeah, Dave Holmes. Actually a really good show. Like, I'd employ all our listeners to check it out. I actually watched it for the first time last week. But
I have a bunch of old DVDs with Game Time with Urban Meyer, with Dom DeBerry, and I think with the new, and then with Trestle, Dom DeBerry, I think Dom DeBerry stepped away from that this year and gave it to Dave Holmes, and Dave Holmes is doing a great job.
But on the show, they were interviewing, I believe it was Malik Harrison. I wasn't paying that much attention, but I did catch this scene. And I believe it was Malik Harrison. He said, they asked him, who's the fastest on the team? And he said, Cameron Brown. And I'm like, who's Cameron Brown? And lo and behold, for Saturday night, we learned Cameron Brown is a really good corner and has a really bright future. And I'm psyched, man, that we have this guy on our team. I mean, He's the future. He's going to be, when Arnett leaves, when Okuda leaves, Cameron Brown next year is going to be probably our starting corner. And I'm jazzed up, man.
Yeah, him and Sean Wade are going to be fantastic next season.
Absolutely. How about Sean Wade just coming out like a missile in the fourth quarter and absolutely laying the boom on Michigan State's quarterback? Him and Baron Brownie had two monstrous hits in the fourth, in the second half.
They, two monster hits for early contention for and early nominees for the Big Sports Bulletin Awards for year two, the annual Big Sports Bulletin Award, second year annual, my bad, let me get that right. Second year annual Big Sports, not Big Sports Bulletin, but Bunch Nuts Podcast season awards for the best hit, and there was two of them in this game.
Three. Wyatt Davis's hit. I mean, it's an offensive lineman. You got to count it as a hit. We got Baron Browning's hit. We have Sean Wade's hit. And from last week, we have Pete Werner's hit. We have four strong nominations this year. I mean, they are contending hard. It's neck and neck, man.
And we still have 6 weeks left.
I know. I mean, who knows who will be on the nomination list next game against Northwestern? I feel like Malik Harrison's due for a big hit.
He's had some big hits, but nothing like those.
Not yet.
The only thing I'm going to take away from this game, I am glad Justin Fields finally got his turnovers and got him over with, because we knew it was going to happen. We knew. But I love the way he bounced back from him. And then, for God's sakes, can we get a damn kicker?
It's so frustrating that we just can't get a decent, just consistent kicker. I never thought I was going to say that the day I miss Sean Nuremberger, but I miss him. He's just so consistent.
I miss Tyler Durbin, the guy who missed freaking three field goals against Clemson.
I want to say Tyler Durbin. I don't know about that, Cass. But I do agree we need a kicker soon. Even Tennessee Jeff agrees. I mean, remember last year when we were interviewing, he said our kicker stinks, and it still stinks, I think.
I mean, our boy Tennessee Jeff. Yeah, so he didn't get on the field this week, though.
No, it was honestly a quiet week for Tennessee Jeff. Honestly, it's probably hard to see find him in the stadium. Everyone was wearing black, so he was probably lurking in the shadows somewhere. And man, I just gotta touch on this, Cass. How about the blackout? What were your thoughts on it? Because I loved it.
I absolutely love it. I know a lot of people are traditionalists, love the tradition uniforms and all that fun stuff, but I absolutely loved it. It's great for the recruiters. Hell, we just landed a quarterback. four-star quarterback this week. We offered it to him, and I think he's going to verbally commit for the next year's class, so we're going to bring him in. I don't have his name right off the top of hand, but after the show, once we get it, because you know, my computer just died, because I've been busy tonight. So as soon as we find out, I don't know if we absolutely landed him, but we just offered him. He was in attendance.
Oh, C.J. Stroud?
Yes, C.J. Stroud. I'm sorry. The name was off the tip of my tongue, but we offered him, and I think we're going to be leaning towards getting him. And that'll bring great challenge for Jack Miller, and you know it's going to be great for Justin Fields because, I mean, we got to replace Gunnar Hoke and Chris Jugginoff.
Here's a question. I know this might sound really stupid. I'm even going to ask this. But do you think there's a chance at all that Ohio State toys with Jack Sawyer at quarterback? Any chance at all?
It's possible. I mean, it's always possible. You never know.
I mean, wouldn't you just love to see Jack Sawyer at quarterback in a Ryan Day offense? I know he's a defensive end. I know it's his natural position. But could you imagine a guy, a 6'5", 220-pound quarterback, basically like a Cam Newton, Big Ben type, in a Ryan Day offense? That would be something to see, man. I wish they just say, you know what, you're playing both defense end and quarterback and just go dual offense. It, like he's a Road to Glory guy.
Right, that'd be pretty cool.
I think he could do it, man. Because people are saying he's gonna be something. He honestly might be one of the biggest football prospects in years. That would be something to see a two way player at quarterback and D end.
Yeah, that most definitely. So,
but back to the blackout. Just the way it looked, it was just incredible. I'm a big fan of the blackout. Always have been. I know some people are. I know, like you said, a lot of people are traditionalists. I just found it hilarious this week listening to Common Man and Tebow. And I don't listen to them a lot. I'm not a huge fan of them, but I do occasionally.
I'm not. I used to be a fan of them. I'm not.
I occasionally listen to them on the way home from work because it's the only thing I can really listen to. And just people were calling in just being like, we're the Ohio State Buckeyes. We need to wear scarlet and gray. And it's just like, just chill out. It's one game. And you know what? The uniforms are so fire. I love them. Just black with the white background on the white, the red background, the white number. It just pops, man. When everyone wears black during a night game, it looks so like, it fits in so well with like the Halloween theme. It's like spooky. And it's just, it's not Penn State. I know it's not Penn State. No one will ever be Penn State with the whiteout. But I think Ohio State does the blackout better than any other team in college football.
Yeah, I agree. I think the severity they thought Michigan State was probably been the bigger game to do the blackout in. But I kind of wish they would have held it off until they played Wisconsin. But because it's Halloween weekend that weekend. But I have a blackout jersey. I have a Dwayne Haskins blackout jersey, and I love that thing. I love wearing it. Now, next week, I will be back to the Scarlet, Michael Thomas. Oh, wait, I won't be able to watch the game next week. I have a game that week. So, which sucks. Stupid Friday night games.
You hate to see that. I'm pumped for the game next Friday night, as long as we win it, because can I get out of work on Friday? Probably go right to the gym and then right to the restaurant or wherever to watch this game.
Yeah, I'll be at Marion Franklin.
But unfortunately for this week, there isn't much going on other than just Ohio State, you know, beating Michigan State, which was, by the way, we were very close on our predictions. We both predicted 31 total points. They scored 34. So kudos to us. We were both wrong about them covering or not covering because they did cover. But
yep.
Kudos to us being pretty close on the offensive side of things. But one more thing before we kind of move away from this. Ben Victor. My weekly Ben Victor just, you know, fangirling. That touchdown. What about that touchdown?
It was outstanding. It took a lot of effort, and I don't think he necessarily needed to dive like that. But, hey, he did anyways. Mm-hmm. but is outstanding. I wish I kind of agree with what you said on Facebook, on Twitter about Austin Mack. You got to dive on that football and be a more alert. But in that moment, Austin Mack was excited that Ben Victor scored a touchdown, so I get it. But yeah, I mean, that was outstanding. That was a game changer.
Yeah, I love how he sold out for that. And to the drive before, Victor had a drop that was pretty ugly. Definitely should have caught that. And people forget that wasn't really characteristic of him, because he usually makes pretty solid. He's pretty solid with his hands, but he had an ugly drop. But he came bounced back right away and made a big play. And it's just how you respond to that adversity. And Victor, the line, Fields, everyone responded really well to adversity this week against Michigan State. And now it's the bye week, and now they're Ohio State posted the picture of their practice field, say, oh, our home for the bye week, because they're going to spend all week practicing and fine tuning. So I think the Buckeyes should be in good shape for a 1-4 Northwestern team, but we'll see.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, 1-4 doesn't do justice how good Northwestern is, though.
It doesn't. They've had a tough. I mean, we'll get into it next week more, but I mean, 1-4, they're better than 1-4, obviously. And this is, I think, the definition of a trap game. But it's the bye week, Cass. And for the bye week, there's not much to talk about. So we decided to, come up with a little thing for our listeners. Our top three activities to do during the bye week. And this was your idea, by the way.
Yeah, it's kind of something special to do. And something to think about, because it's the bye week and there's a lot... a lot going on. There's a lot of college football. I do catch my number three thing is I do catch some college football. I find out what the biggest game is, and this week it is Florida at LSU. So I definitely will be watching that one because of Joey Burrow, who I think could be a future Cincinnati Bengal, as bad as the Bengals are. And then so I catch some college football, and then as my number three thing, since I don't dedicate my whole Saturday to college football like I do when the Buckeyes are playing.
My number three is do a fall activity. Something fallish. This week I think I'm going apple picking or pumpkin picking or something. Going near Buckeye Lake. I'm going to go... do some fall activities, man, because, I really don't get out much during this time of the year, especially on a Saturday. So, beautiful week in mid-October. Buckeyes have a bye week, so why not do your one fall activity a year on this Saturday?
I'm actually doing that next weekend on the 19th, since the Buckeyes don't have a game.
That's actually a good time to do it, too.
But that is my number two thing. Go out with the family, spend some time with the niece and nephew. And, for instance, this week, the Fairfield County Fair is going on. So I'm going to check that out. Go to the fair, get some fair food, and because it's one of the last festivals, because next week's the pumpkin show, and that's the, check that out. I'll probably check that out also next week during our we already played on Friday night game day. But yeah, that, do something fall activity. It's always fun to do that with the family and spend some time with the family.
My number two activity is go see the Joker. Go see the Joker. I mean, if there's any good time to go see the Joker, it's probably this weekend, because it's, it's fairly new at this point still. The movie theaters aren't going to be that packed because it's been out, a little over a week. And the Buckeyes aren't playing, so why not go see the Joker? Everyone's talking about it. This isn't a free ad. It's just I heard it's a great movie, and I'm probably going to try to go see the Joker at least sometime this weekend and get myself an icy, because there's nothing better than an icy at the movie theaters.
My number one thing is relax. Sleep in a little bit, because, you're not dedicated yourself to watch College game day. You might tune it in, have it on in the background, relax, sleep a little bit, spend your day, doing nothing. I mean, for instance, myself, I got to pull my wife's got some pumpkins, some mums and stuff that we got to replace our regular flowers with, so might as well dig that stuff up this week, so that'll probably be one of my number one things.
My number one thing to do during a bye week.
By the way, there's another bye week too this year, so we can, you know, piggyback off of that because it'll be probably colder than it is now.
Yeah, it definitely colder. My number one thing to do during a bye week: play video games. Tune out all football. Go sit down and fire up the PS4 and play with the boys. Play some, you know, Fortnite, Overwatch, Call of Duty. New Call of Duty's coming out soon. Just whatever you want. Just sometimes anything to get away from football. I haven't played video games in a month. Might do that this weekend.
Or, I mean, if you're out and about, there's some good high school football that's out Friday night. I know we don't have a game Saturday, but go to Columbus South this week. Undefeated Columbus South will host undefeated Malik Walnut Ridge, where Malik Harrison's from. Should be a powerhouse game. I went out to talk to Columbus South's head coach tonight because, you know, he's in his second season, has his team 6-0, went 6-4 last year, lost a tough one to Walnut Ridge last year, but has his team believing that they can win. Haven't beat Walnut Ridge in quite some time, and he says you got to play disciplined football and slow the pace of the game down to beat them. And they've got the right man. Coach Yates is a fantastic coach, fantastic guy, great to talk to. Should be a fun game. Check it out Friday night. I'll post the link up this week to check it out. VegasSportsNews.com, game of the week. Columbus South is hosting Walnut Ridge, and it's got a lot of playoff implications on it.
Sounds like a great matchup, man. I'm definitely going to tune into that. And I mean, just overall, sounds like a really quality high school football game. So all our listeners, definitely check that out. Cass does an amazing job, just like announcing this and covering it. I mean, he works so hard. Like, totally check it out. I'm going to tweet the link too from the Bunch of Nuts account. But if you love high school football, I mean, the Buckeyes aren't playing. Go check it out. I mean, there's nothing else to do this weekend. Why not? You know?
Yeah, there's even on Saturday, a lot of the Catholic schools and private schools, they play on Saturday. Even on Saturday morning, go catch a D2 college football game. Maybe Ohio Dominican's playing at home or Capital's playing at home. If you're really into that football stuff, go check out some of these local D2 schools around here. There's a lot, you know, they usually play early in the morning or in the afternoon. Go check them out and have some fun, you know. You know, Capital's a pretty good program, and so is Ohio Dominican, Otterbein. Go check those guys out.
Absolutely. And, I mean, as we kind of wrap up the show here, before we go into, I guess, this week's picks, we're going to kind of rapid fire these picks because this weekend's ridiculous for college football. I know we gave all these bye week activities, but when it's all said and done, I'm probably just going to be in front of the TV watching these games because it's that ridiculous. I tell myself I'm going to do some of this
especially Florida LSU.
Yeah. We have some wild games, but I mean, what a week for the Bunch of Nuts. What a week for Bunch of Nuts. I just want to recap our week. I mean, just getting, we got a shout out from Chase Young, shout out from Jeffrey Okuda, just, you know, tons of followers. We broke the 100 like barrier on Facebook, which is something, you know, we're neglecting, but we're finally there. Just a great job all around. And Cass, man, I got to give you credit for that idea. I think he said it last week on the podcast, but he's like, you need to post a picture of Jeffrey Okuda and Chase Young together. And I was like, oh, I don't know how to do this. Well, how should we do it? And we did it. And Cass, I got to give you the credit. We got shout outs from the two best, you know, players on Ohio State, on the defensive side at least. So my man, I got to shout you out live on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem. You know, do what I do, just getting followers and stuff. With that being said, a Bunch of Nuts podcast is looking for sponsors. Contact both of us on DM on Twitter, and we will put our social media emails out there. If you DM us on Twitter or Facebook, if you're interested in being a sponsor for the A Bunch of Nuts podcast, we are currently looking for sponsors. Right now, I've checked into two, haven't heard anything back. But again, if you're interested in two sponsorship with A Bunch of Nuts podcast, DM A Bunch of Nuts podcast on Twitter, and on Facebook, and we will get seek you the info and the right info that we need.
Absolutely. And, I mean, Cass, so you had a stat for us. I know we kind of touched on it in the pre-show, but I just want to talk about this stat, and then we'll get into the games and then wrap up the show. This stat, though, about the game time.
Oh, yeah. Compared to the season, I took the two networks, Fox and ESPN. We had two games on Fox this year that were the marquee games, that big noon kickoff, Indiana and Florida Atlantic. Both times were averaging around 3 hours, 3 hours and 2 minutes, 3 hours and, 6 minutes. And then last week against Nebraska, we had a 2-hour and 54-minute game, which was very quick for ESPN, okay? Last week was 3 hours and 17 minutes before the marquee matchup of the week on ESPN. Commercials, commercials, commercials are killing college football. Show more of the crowd and show more of the band and talk more, Herb Street Fowler, talk more about the games and maybe other games that are going on. I don't want to see the progressive commercial where the dude is singing.
And oh, the boy band one?
Yes.
I hate that one. Dude, it's stuck in my head. It's the most overplayed. Like, every year we get them. We get that one commercial that's overplayed. That is the one of 2019.
And I do not want to see the DoorDash one where it's the Lizzo song.
The DoorDash?
Yes. I hate Lizzo. Her music's trash.
No, know what one annoys me? The Limu Emu one. Oh, by the way, our sponsors. Yeah, do not, if you're any of these sponsors, we'll gladly take your money. So don't be afraid.
Yes. But right now, if you're the Limu Emu, the DoorDash, and the Progressive one, I don't mind that you're doing those promoting your business, but please have more than just one commercial.
Which is why they should reach out to Bunch of Nuts Podcast.
Exactly.
All right.
Before we go, just keep your on notes, and we will post this on Twitter. Dan will post this on Twitter. Ohio State, according to Bleach Report, and probably more articles that are out there. Bleach Report was the first one that I could see. Bleach Report and other articles, because it's probably not the only one, because I've seen it on Facebook where people are posting it, and don't know if I trust the article because it's, a small company like ours. But there's 3 Ohio State Buckeyes in the top 10 in Heisman. Just sleep on that, everybody, and just think about that. Chase Young, Justin Fields, and J.K. Dobbins are all in the top 10 for the Heisman race. Just think about that, Buckeye fans.
And also think about this. Ohio State, if the BCS ranking still existed today, would be number 1. Just want to leave you with that.
And Florida would be 2.
That would be the Urban Meyer National Championship game. Would he wear a half and half jersey? What would he do there? Would he wear half and half? Would he be all Ohio State, all Florida? That is the question.
I feel like that he would like to have Brady Quinn's jersey, like when Brady Quinn sister got to watch Brady Quinn get destroyed by her future husband at the time. I think it'd be like that.
I agree. Or I think he just wouldn't wear. I think he wouldn't wear anything of either team. I think he'd just show up in like a plain like white polo.
If that happened, if I was Fox, I'd try to outbid ESPN for that national championship game just to have Urban Meyer on TV.
It'd be amazing. They just need the Urban Meyer cam.
Yeah, exactly. So, number 1 in the BCS, BCS still happened, guys. Ohio State. And there's 3 Ohio State Buckeyes in the top 10 for Heisman votes.
All right, let's go through our game picks real quick.
All right.
I'm just going to rattle off. There's so many big games. I'm going to do like six or seven of them. Just give me a quick why they're going to who are you going
to say win or lose. I'm not going to say why or
yeah, no spreads, just straight who do you think is going to win and just why. Real quick, why? Like a sentence. All right, starting off the day, we got Red River Rivalry, Oklahoma, Texas.
I'm going Oklahoma. Jalen Hurts, enough said.
I'm going Texas just because Sam Ehlinger and Tom Herman have something up their sleeve.
Oh, by the way, it's revenge with Oklahoma and Texas.
Next one, Michigan, Illinois.
Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. Illinois stinks. Wisconsin, Michigan State.
Wisconsin big. But Jonathan Taylor has only got one touchdown. I'm going 21-0.
I'm going Michigan State on this one. I think they're better than what people think.
At Camp Randall?
Yeah, I think they pull up the upset. I think Mark D'Antonio's team has too much pride to drop this one. I think they pull the upset, honestly.
All right.
Alabama versus A&M.
Alabama all the way.
Yeah, A&M's overrated. I don't care. Like, they're going to lose, like, six games.
And still be ranked 25th.
Yeah, no matter what, they're still going to be ranked 25th. Florida State, Clemson.
I'm going Clemson, but closer than what people think.
I'm going Clemson big. I think they kick the snot out of Florida State here.
And they need something, too. Like, I kind of tend to agree with you, but as bad as I don't trust Clemson as bad as they're playing.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do Cincinnati-Houston.
That's not big.
No, it's eye-popping. It's not big. It looks good on paper, but it's not big. Could be a good game, though. Penn State, Iowa.
Oof. Iowa coming off a loss. Penn State's out there to try to prove something. Where's this game being played?
I believe it's in Iowa.
I'm going with the Hawkeyes.
Okay.
I like Penn State. I like what they're doing. But they're going to Kinnick. I know it's Kinnick, but I call it Kinnick.
Kinnick.
And this game has written all over it. 2017 Ohio State versus Iowa written all over it.
Well, people forget when Penn State went that year to Kinnick, they almost lost. They scored that touchdown as time expired.
And after how bad they got embarrassed last week to Michigan, mm-hmm. I got Iowa. I'm going with what time's that game?
That's a 7:30. That's a night game in Iowa. Ooh,
Iowa.
Ooh, yeah. Iowa. Yeah, I'm on Iowa too. I agree, Cass. It's just
close. But close.
But yeah, it's going to be that's a dandy. That's a good one. We got USC Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
I'm going with the Trojans. I think they want to win this bad. The Trojans are going to wake up for this one. I just have a feeling. All right. This is our last one. Florida LSU.
Ooh. Florida's defense is playing very well. Their quarterback's playing very well just because he's not as talented as Felipe Franks or Emory Jones. But the kid can play. But you're going to Death Valley and Joey Burrow. I'm going with LSU, but Joe Burrow is going to make a few mistakes, and it's going to be a very, very close game.
This is a tough one. Is Emory Jones starting?
No, the other kid is.
Trask?
Yeah.
I feel like if Emory Jones starting, I would go with Florida. I feel like the other guy is not as good. Like, I was watching Emory Jones, like, yeah, he can be a little better. I think Florida has better athletes. Because they absolutely, you know, looked so good against Auburn. With their third-string quarterback, too. But I'm going LSU here too. I gotta support my boy Joey B.
It's gonna be close.
That's another great one.
It's gonna be fun to watch.
Oh, so much fun. I mean, just an amazing slate of games this weekend, Cass. And This just jumped in my mind. We completely neglected this. Nick Bosa.
Enough said.
Just, I'm going to leave you with this. I guess after seeing what Nick Bosa did to Baker Mayfield, this is a great way to end the show. This is a lesson for all of you. Be nice to people. Be a good person. Because karma comes around and will bite you in the butt.
Yeah. I mean, even when it happened, I didn't have a problem with Bosa doing, I mean, not Bosa, but Baker Mayfield doing it, because the way he felt is the way he felt. He came in and whooped our butts. He had every right to do it. Did he look like a fool? Yes. But man, you gotta know when karma's gonna hit you. And leave this note on Browns fans. Flip the situation. If Baker Mayfield played for the 49ers and Nick Bosa played for the Browns and Nick Bosa did the same thing, would you be upset, Browns fans? Would you be that upset? Because they were so salty.
Dude, they were the Browns fan. All right, Browns Twitter was out of control, by the way. And like the weird sect of like the internet where, well, like the Ohio, not even the internet, the Ohio sports fan where they're Browns and Buckeyes fans, but more Browns fans, and they were just turning on Ohio State. It was like a little civil war on Ohio State Twitter. Like, some of these Browns fans are very upset. They're calling Nick Bosa a traitor, and it's just like, chill out. Like, just chill out. Like, Oklahoma started this war with the basic defense thing. Let's not forget this, folks.
Right. And it wasn't even Baker that started it.
I think it was Austin Kendall, right? The West Virginia quarterback now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just ridiculous all around. I'm just glad, you know, karma bit Baker in the butt. And Nick Bosa, he really avenged the Ohio State Buckeyes. That's all. I'm just so happy that happened.
Yeah, me too.
It's all in good fun, though. People got to stop taking it personally.
And you know what, Browns fans? Again, answer my question. If Nick Bosa played for the Browns and Baker Mayfield played for the 49ers, would you be that mad? And I'm done.
And that does it for another episode of A Bunch of Nuts. Go Bucks.